Blog Talk Radio.
In grief, nothing stays put. One keeps emerging from a fray, but it always occurs round and round. Everything repeats. Am I going in a circle? Or dare I hope I am on a spiral? But if a spiral, am I going up or down? Like I mentioned to you, that yes, we do go up and down, and we'll talk about it tonight. Thank you so much for tuning into the Next Chapter Widows Ministry, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. So this show, even though it's the Next Chapter Widows Ministry, we also encourage others who have lost mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, grandmother, grandfather, whoever's going through our the journey of grief. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and I welcome you tonight, and we will continue our journey talking about the seven stages of grief. We talked about shock and denial, and tonight we're going to double up. We're going to talk about pain and guilt, anger and bargaining. Pain and guilt, anger and bargaining. We don't have time to rehash, go back and refresh and talk about what happened, what I talked about on shock and denial. We're going to continue on because we only have 30 minutes. Pain and guilt, shock wears off and replaces with excruciating pain. It's important to experience the pain fully and not numb it artificially. Anger and bargaining. Frustration leads to anger. Uncontrolled, it can permanently damage relationships. It may result in trying to negotiate with oneself or higher power to attempt to change the loss that has occurred. As we continue with these different topics, I did mention that you could purchase A Widow's Touch on Amazon.com. And if you do already have a copy, I hope that you have it with you, because I will be pulling some stories relating to some of these things, stages, to help you to relate how some of the widows felt during these different stages. And just like I talked as I began, saying whether you are up, going up or down. Well, we talked about the you, and I picked of the you. And it's like a roller coaster ride. And right now you are going down the roller coaster. You've left shock and denial. And now you're building up some pain and guilt. As you continue to go down, you will experience anger and bargaining. And I want to read this about the waves. Many people describe grief as waves from a storm crashing onto the shore. At first, the wave is very large, coming at you right one after another. Each wave knocks you down flat. Each wave, often you don't even have time to get up on your feet after one wave before the next one knocks you down. And I know your feelings are all over the place. But gradually the wave gets smaller and comes further apart. Times and occasionally, waves may still batter you, but more often you'll be able to keep your balance and stay on your feet. Yes, you will one day stay on your feet, and when the wave hits you, you'll be able to stand up and deal with it, because God is going to give you that strength that you need to get through those waves. So let's begin with pain and guilt. We often feel guilty for what you have said, what you didn't get to say before or after you loved your loved one died. You may be ashamed of how you handled the loss. During this pandemic, especially, where families are not able to say goodbye, feeling the guilt for not being there. So many people right now are going through grief because they could not say goodbye in person. Many of them had to say goodbye from a tablet, telephone, or something that their parents or loved ones were able to say something. But it's still not the same when you're not there by their bedside. But we are going to get through this day by day, one day at a time. Now, I am going to pull some stories regarding pain and guilt. First, if you will turn to page 33. The name of this story, well, before we go back, many of the ladies did not know how to begin their story. So what we did was we gave them questions to answer. Some of them used questions to begin their stories in order to keep letting it flow. And our topic tonight is one is pain and guilt. This writer, we asked her, what were some of the feelings and doubts you felt when Matt died? This is coming from My Protector Is Gone, written by Florence Bonaparte, and she's out of South Carolina. And I want to read some of her story. We were married for 53 years, wonderful years. When Matt died, I felt like a zombie. Remember we talked about the shock and denial? I couldn't believe he was gone. I've had many relatives to pass away, but by losing a spouse was harder than any other member of the family. Mother, father, sister, brother, children, or grandparents. During this time, I was just going through the motion. Is that you? I dreamt about Mac every night for 2 years straight. Mac was a kind and giving person. He was quiet and reserved and very observant of things happening around us. He was my protector. After he passed, I thought about how great it would have spent more quality time together. When we saved money for honeymoons or vacation, we spent it helping other family members and other family members. So we put it off again and again. Well, she did build up some guilt because of things that they did not do while they were married. They used their time for other reasons. But she knew that her protector was no longer there for her. So I wanted to read that because that was one of the questions that we asked of different widows, and she chose to write about the guilt and also her protector. I want to read another story, and this is regarding her pain, and that is on 31. I felt his spirit in the room. And we asked her, what feelings did you experience sleeping alone at night? She was Ollie Ken, and name of her story, I felt the spirit in the room. She's from Lithonia, Georgia. Sometimes I just didn't want to be alone, especially at night. I miss him so much. Sometimes I felt so mad, bad at night, not having Floyd close to me. I asked God, can you please let him physically visit me for a while? Shortly after my prayer, I felt God's spirit in the room, and I could feel Floyd's warmth surrounding me. I thank God for the visit, for I knew Floyd is home with me. The pain that she felt every night, the guilt and the concern that Florence had that her protector were gone, her protector was gone. In anger and bargaining, I must say I was very angry. And I want to read a part of my story. That is on page. If you will go to page 10 of my story. But first, I also want to talk and say that I was very angry with God. I had so many questions for God. And I'm sure you had too. And might still have those questions for him. I could not understand why this was happening. I couldn't understand. I asked question after question. One of the questions I asked, because I knew that it took both salaries. I'm not reading from the story right now. It took both salaries to pay the mortgage on my house. All the other bills, I knew that I could not handle this alone and taking care of the kids and providing for them. I couldn't understand why he would let this happen. I had many questions. And in the book on page 10, later I realized I was asking God's question after the storm hit. The name of my story was God Prepared Me for the Storm. But asking questions after the storm hit, questions like these are other questions also. Why did my husband die? Why was I left to raise two young babies by myself? Yes, those were my questions. I was angry. I couldn't understand. Only 6 years of marriage, two babies, yes. Many of you were angry and still angry at God of letting this happen to you, for your love, losing your loved one. But there's an answer to all these questions. You must seek yours, and I seek mine, and I did get an answer. And many of you still looking for answers. But just be quiet sometimes and be patient. You will get those answers, those questions for you. Right now, your mind is probably all not very cloudy, and you can't hear anything from God. Right now, you can't understand why you're feeling this way. Your mind is very cloudy, so you can't hear him. But when you be still one day, he will answer you because he answered me. He answered all those questions that I had. He answered me. And you know one thing? He didn't always answer those questions just by hearing a little voice. He answered those questions by showing me proof that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Even though I had a concern about paying those bills, he didn't say, Mary, a little boy can't say, dear Mary, I'm going to make sure that you there's going to be enough money in your account. I'm going to make sure you're going to be all right. He didn't answer me in that way. He showed me proof every step of the way. After 2 weeks going to, when I went down to his job to get his last paycheck and also to sign some other papers dealing with his benefits and so forth. And that was 2 weeks after. And I wasn't thinking about the bills at the very moment because I was going through the motions of grief, the shock and the denial, and now the pain, now the anger. But when I got there, the lady who in benefits gave me an envelope, signed all the papers, and when I got home, I opened that envelope. And there was enough money in there to pay for my mortgage at least for the next 3 months. That's from his last paycheck. I forgot what you call it right now. I can't think right now. But my husband was a workaholic, and he didn't miss any days. So those were all the days that he got money back, work compensation, all that stuff. And his last paycheck, it was enough to pay the mortgage and the bills and my salary for the next 3 months. So God kept answering my question with proof that he will never leave me nor forsake me. And he did just that. Each time I had a question, he didn't always give me that. I didn't always hear that voice. At the beginning, I couldn't hear the voice. I mean, I was too busy crying, too busy going through the motion, too busy taking care of my kids. So he knew I couldn't hear him at that time. But he showed me proof every time I had a concern, a question. He found a way to show me that he, in spite of what had happened, he would never leave me, not forsake me, and he never did. Okay. Bargaining and anger, and we're going to still continue with bargaining and anger. Let me pull some more stories that I have. Just 1 second here. Okay, let's go to page 42. Now, whenever you have time, this is not the story. Let me see. This is one of the stories, but there's something else I want to express. This is one of the stories on page 42. And this story was This Can't Be Love by Tracy Lowe, and she's out of Covington, Georgia. And when she passed away, she was very young, early 30s, with a 5-month-old baby. I can't remember exactly right now. But when she got the knock at the door, the name of part of each paragraph, our editor added some words, a sentence to bring out what the writer was trying to say. And it was a knock on the door that I would never forget. And that's, we're going to talk about what she said on page 42. She said there was a knock on the door, and there was a Newton County Sheriff's Department. Your husband had been in an accident. I began to scream and told him I didn't want to hear it anymore. I ran for my daughter, who was asleep. As I grabbed her, I instantly began to call on the Lord, asking, why? What have I done to deserve this? My life was just coming together, and now this. Question. Anger. The pain. She asked many questions about when she first heard that her loved one was not there. So these are some of the things that you experience. I know you have. Now, that is a very story, good story for you to read. It's a short story. Read that. Read that later on or tomorrow about her. And another story, I'm just reading a little part of it. On page 76. And the name of it is Three Enemies That I Wasn't Expecting Came Along for the Ride. That was written by Tanya Boyd Hill. She's out of Lithonia, Georgia. And on page 76, all of you have, but with me, three enemies that I wasn't expecting came along for the ride. And listen at these three enemies. They were anxiety, depression, and fear. This is some of the feelings as you go down this U-turn. Right now, you're dealing with all these emotions, the shock, denial, the pain and guilt, the anger and bargaining. This is where you are right now. You're going down the hill because you're not getting any better. You experience all these emotions. Getting back to her story, I've never experienced these before. In my distress, she sought out a Christian grief counselor. And I'm going to drop below there. My Christian grief counselor told me that if I was closer to God, this grief experience wouldn't have been so very difficult. I know what she meant there. And you know one thing? Even though that you have faith in God and you're strong in his word, you're still going to go through some of these emotions. I've known that we had Bishop Mills on the talk show, I think about a month ago. And she lost her daughter. And she experienced how she felt. So don't think that ministers, people with authority, they feel the same kind of hurt that you feel. Just like you said, if you cut your finger, you bleed the same kind of blood, red blood, that's the same thing. I don't care how strong you are in faith. When you lose a loved one, you're going to be knocked down, and you're going to go through this U. You're going to go down the hill, and as you continue to grab onto the Lord and having faith again, you'll get better. But just knowing that it's okay. Don't judge yourself. And don't think that people with titles and authority, they do grieve just like you do. They have red blood just like you have red blood. But getting back to Tanya's story. Okay, let's see. Initially, in the first 3 months of counseling, I sat there with the counselor and did not speak. She was still in shock and denial. During this time, I was given many scriptures, and she expressed some of the scripture that did help her. And one of the scripture I will say to you, and this scripture is true, It is coming from Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. This is King James Version. There, read it in the NIV version as well, so you can really understand what it's saying to you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will keep you. I will uphold thee. He will do just that. He will not leave you. He will strengthen you. Even though that you might be angry, he's right there by your side. And he will uphold you, especially with his right hand. So these are the stories that I wanted to connect with the topics that we went through tonight. Just knowing that you will go up and down those and thing to it, as you, next week, we're going to talk about the upward turn. And just knowing that just because you're going upward now, you're getting stronger, you're not going to be knocked down. Just like to talk about those waves will knock you flat on your feet. You go up, it's like a roller coaster ride. Just like you on a roller coaster, you go up, but you come down and you go back up. You come down, you go back up. And that's exactly how grief is. You will have those roller coaster rides, those feelings that one minute you're doing well. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I feel good for the last few days. And all of a sudden, on that third day, something reminds you of your loss. And all of a sudden, you're right back down. Right back down the hill, because it refreshes that feeling that you had. But it's okay, that hill. Even though you have to come back down, just keep going up. Because one day, you won't go, you will be able not to go down. But whenever you are reminded by something that your special loved one remind you of, something that you're eating, something that's the music, you smell the, even walking in a room and you smell the same type of cologne that your spouse or someone was wearing, and all of a sudden it hits you. It's okay, but you'll be stronger each and every day. Just keep walking. Just keep walking forward. We only have 90 seconds left. We have two more Tuesdays, and we are going to talk about depression. We're going to talk about depression. We're going to talk about two things on next week. We're going to talk about number four is depression, reflection, and loneliness. Loneliness is very something that we're going to really talk about in depth. A long period of sadness is persons and magnitude of the loss that sets in. And then we also want to talk about the upward turn. And then the last week we'll be talking about our working through and accepting and hope. But there is hope. There's always hope in any journey that you go through. So I just want you to know that it is normal to go through these different emotions. But just know one day you'll get better. You'll be able to deal with those roller coaster rides. When the wave hits you, you'll be able to bounce back. Bounce back and keep on moving. So that's all I have tonight. I just want to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that I hope that I was able to enlighten you and also encourage you about the seven stages of grief. We talked about pain and guilt, anger and bargaining. And it's okay for us to go through all of these emotions. And we just know that if we continue to have our faith in you, that you'll get us through. And I'm going to play this music by James Fortune, Live Through It. We must live through these different stages, even through this pandemic. But God, we're still here. God got us through it. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we just ask you, Heavenly Father, as we end this show, give us the strength that we need, Lord Jesus, and knowing that you still love us in spite of what has happened. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, we thank you, and we thank you. Thank you for tuning in once again. Be blessed. Have a great and safe week. And tune in again next week from 10 to 10:30 p.m. And we'll be talking about the upward turn. There is upward turn.
In this life, you will have trouble. You can't avoid it. You can't get around it. But you can live through it.
Life is filled with so many ups and downs. Have you ever been there? One day you're smiling, the next day you're fighting to hold back your tears, to hide how you feel. So tired of faking like everything is okay when you know.
You can't get
no sleep at night.
And now
you may be asking, cause you never imagined, how could this be God? It cannot be God. I can only tell you what he told me.
He told me.
This is what he told me.
Live through it.
He said, James,
grow through it.
You will.
Yeah.
You can make it.
You can make it if you just pray through it. Don't let this be the end for you.
It's not the end. This is only temporary.
Live through it.
Hallelujah. It always hurts more when it's someone close to you.
Someone you love.
Yeah.
May have just left.
But don't worry.
It's not the end of the world.
You gotta understand.
God already knows. Everyone who will leave you is set away. Don't let them stay.
They didn't deserve you.
You didn't see it coming. And now you feel broken. How could this be God?
This can't be God.
It cannot be God. I can only tell you.
God is saying,
live through it.
It's growing pains.
Grow through it.
Your family needs you to
get through it.
But here's the key.
You can make it if you just pray through it.
You gotta pray through
it. Don't let this be the end for you.
God only allowed it because he knew you could survive it. So
live.